Welcome to the Garden Girls Podcast with Amanda Thompson and Michelle Gervais. I'm Amanda, a garden designer, thing finder, and Chicagoan, and the author of the books Kiss My Aster and Backyard Adventure. You can find me online at kissmyaster.com.
And I'm Michelle, a garden writer, editor, and sci-fi junkie in northwestern Connecticut, and the author of the Design Your Garden Toolkit book and sticker set. You can find me online at gardenygoodness.com. Amanda and I are both opinionated, rabid Gen X gardeners, avid thrifters, busy moms, and lazy bloggers.
Be sure to visit us on the Garden Girls Podcast Facebook page for alerts for new episodes and photos we promise along the way.
Thanks for taking the time to listen.
And thank you for being a frond.
And now, on to the newest episode.
Welcome to episode 4 of the Garden Girls Podcast.
God, it is 4. I thought it was 3.
Nope. Number 4. Look at us making podcasts.
It's October.
It's October. I think we, it's been a while since we've been able to do this. I think we both had there's a end of summer last minute push to get some stuff done and do some stuff. And we had to do that stuff, didn't we?
I'm glad you got it done. I haven't gotten it done yet.
I didn't actually get it done, but I mean, I thought about it a lot.
Well, it doesn't really feel like fall here right now, because in the last year, we've had 2 huge maple trees taken down on either side of our yard.
Hey, were they crappy maple trees?
No, they were huge, gorgeous, really old maple trees. I loved them, but they were getting old and falling limbs, and they were getting pretty dangerous. So they were taken out, and now we're like, wait, where are the leaves? There are no leaves to rake. It's very strange.
That is a little strange. We don't have a ton of leaves on our property because we have no trees because they all died. We had 300 ash trees and they all died.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. And box elders and just every diseased tree, which is sad to live on a treeless property, but I'm building up my own arboretum.
Yeah. Now you get to choose what trees.
Yeah.
You
want. We get to choose. They're all little, but, I'll get there. You know, that's the thing. So what have you been getting done in the garden?
Let's see. I'm starting to think about taking my containers apart. I've been cutting them back and using whatever I can in bouquets, which is something I do at the end of the season. Instead of just junking everything and putting the coleus in, vases with everything else I can find. So that's what I'm doing. Starting to think about cutting things back, but I'm so lazy that it's going to happen later. It's just all in my head right now.
Do you, when you cut back when you have a coleus bouquet and you, do you let them root?
I let them root, but I never keep them until spring. I'm just, they start to root, they get all crazy in the glass. And I'm like, there's another 8 months of this. Probably not 8 months. But I usually end up throwing them away and buying new coleus in the spring.
You mean composting, right?
Yeah, I compost. I did bring some plants indoors already, even though the weather got warm again, but I think that's good. It's giving them some time to really adjust. So I didn't wait until it was 40 degrees out and take them into a 65 degree house and say, hey, there you go.
We did have some patchy frost the other night. I brought some stuff in, but I don't do it like I used to.
No, I don't either.
Before I had baby, man, I did. It was like a 3 or 4 day event of, dragging in 35 pound sago palms that wanted to stab me, and I had a giant Norfolk pine and I just had all this stuff. It took days, and it was an event that just killed me. And then one year I was just like, screw it, you guys can all die.
Yeah, mine took about 20 minutes. I used to bring in full-size banana trees.
Yeah,
I used to bring in everything I could, either go in the basement or go in my sunroom, and it would all die by spring. Because I don't know about you, I can do outdoor gardening, but once they become houseplants, it's, they can die.
I've gotten pretty good at keeping houseplants alive, but I also just, it's okay to say goodbye to friends and compost them, and they become food for new friends.
We brought in a lemon tree and about 4 or 5 pots of succulents, and that's it this year.
The lemon,
Yeah, the lemon tree we got, it was about a foot tall 2 years ago when we bought it at Logie's. You've heard of Logie's, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so we're close enough we get to visit them every year or two. And we bought this little lemon tree when it was a foot tall, and now it's about 4 feet tall, and it gives us one or two lemons a year, and it's pretty cool. So
that is really cool.
Yeah.
I do the same front door pot every year, and it has a couple different kinds of philodendrons in it, and like a Dracaena and some bromeliads.
Same. I saw your Dracaena. We're going to talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. Oops. And, you know, I put it in April, and it looks pretty sad. And by May, it's like really full. And then I just take that stuff in. Because I've done pots for a living since forever. I never thought that I'd enjoy having the same pot every year, but I do. It's kind of fun to do. And, so I've only taken half of those plants in, but we're getting them there. Can you hear Elka snoring?
No.
Do you want to? Hang on.
Yeah.
She won't do it now.
Oh, of course not.
Yeah. So there's going to be some dog snores on this. I think that it could be worse.
So let's talk about that Dracaena in a way. Tell us what's new.
Yeah, I made a show. I've wanted to do video for a really long time, and I've decided a lot of things. Like I'm going to, like Oprah would say, I've had some aha moments, and they're like a Venn diagram that's like works together. The first one is that I've been making memes now for like 10 years, and it's fine. It's great, but it's really, I really want to help people. This kind of like, I really want to be of service to people who want a garden or want questions answered, or I really just want to be helpful. And I feel like memes are not helpful. They're funny. They're funny. And I can write them all day long. Like literally I can write them all day long.
But you've dabbled in video before a lot, right?
Well, not a lot. I mean, I've taken chances and screwed around a little bit, and I've done this and that, and
it's always really popular. When I see it, you get tons of views.
I do, and that makes me feel really good. But I mean, that's like if I do a Facebook Live or something, I get like it blows me away how many people watch those. Or Facebook is lying. Either could be true.
I don't think Facebook's sitting there writing all those comments that pop up as you're doing it.
Right, that's totally true. Yeah. I did a houseplant one once that had just thousands of comments and views, and it was just really, really cool. I believed in order to do the kind of content I wanted to do that I needed to have like a crew, and I didn't want to edit my own, and I don't know how. I kind of know how. And I just said, you know what? I'm just going to do this. It's going to be me and my tripod, and I'm going to learn how to edit stuff. And iMovie is really easy. And I screwed around with that a little bit over the summer when I had to make a book trailer for Backyard Adventure. And I'm enjoying it very much. So
well, you can't wait until you're ready. It's just like having kids. If you wait till you're ready, you're never going to do it.
Well, I just didn't want to do a shit job. You know, yeah. I just didn't want to do, and very frankly, I didn't want to do the editing work because editing can suck your soul away from you.
But this is the age of on the fly video. So, I mean, it's the perfect
true. I posted that show on Friday and now it's Sunday, and I've already learned like three new editing tricks just since Friday. Like I'm already I can't watch that again. I'm like, I've already grown out of that. I could have done better.
It's going to get better and better with every episode. And I loved the first episode. So yay you. What is it called?
Mud Life Crisis. And I'm hoping to have another show up on Friday if I can pull it off. So yay. I won't be able to do too many before it gets too cold, but I'll knock a couple indoor plant ones out during the winter. Yeah. And I'm really excited. I really feel like, I mean, I don't want to get cheeseball about it, but like telling stories and showing gardening in a super approachable bite-sized snack way is what I was here to do.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's exactly what you've done.
Yeah.
So it's on YouTube, right?
It's on YouTube, and I posted on the Kiss My Aster Facebook page, And I'm going to try to do YouTube just because it's just such an easy way to share things.
Yeah. YouTube's the way.
But apparently if I post it on Facebook, I could make a little money, which I'm sure is like 2 or 3 cents, but that always helps. So.
Oh, you'll make more money on YouTube. We'll talk later.
Well, I don't know how to do any of this. So, and I'm delighted to learn. Okay. And I just fooled myself for so long that I needed a video crew, an editor. And then I'm like, I also don't have any money to buy any of the stuff to do a show with. Yeah, yeah. And then I just it was like a cartoon. I sat up one morning. I'm like, oh, I have all the stuff to do this. I already own all the stuff. I'm waiting on a free municipal mulch delivery. And then I am golden.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
Thanks for letting me talk about it. I'm just genuinely excited about it. And like,
I'm excited for you.
Meeting people on the street. I'm like, hi, I made a fake TV show. Like, and it's a real show. I mean, it's like 17 minutes long. I mean, when you're watching it, it's like, feels like a show, but I keep calling it a TV show just because I think I'm old enough to be like, well, if it's a show, it's a TV show.
Yeah.
And it's a real show to me.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, everybody go watch it. Midlife Crisis on YouTube. There's
it's on the
commercial for it.
The Kiss My Aster YouTube channel. I love the idea of doing this podcast, doing some video, and I want to do it all. Life is short. I want to give it all. Like, what else? What am I missing?
Oh gosh, what's left?
I'm not doing enough TikToks, right?
Oh God, I don't even know what TikTok is. I'm too old.
I did one.
Hearing it, and I refuse. There's not another inch of space in my mind for another new platform. No.
Well, I'm just gonna tell you what TikTok is. Okay, it's just like Vine. It's just like Vine, except you can lip sync and add like stickers and stuff. It's not just like better Vine.
I can't even do Instagram stories. I don't understand Instagram stories.
Okay, I can. Okay. I can explain this too.
No.
You don't want to know?
No.
Oh, Instagram is the show, and Instagram Stories is backstage.
I don't get it.
you put your best content on your Instagram, your page, okay? Yeah. And Stories is like little used hankies of fun.
Okay.
It's not supposed to be that serious. I didn't get it for a really long time. And then when I got it, I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing. Instagram stories is better than Instagram. It is so fun.
When I've tried to do an Instagram story, I swear to God, I feel like a 95-year-old person, like with a laptop.
It's just one of those things where you have to get over yourself and just like, it's just goofy and it doesn't mean anything. And either, you know, people are going to watch it for 4 seconds or they aren't. And it doesn't really matter.
Now my blood pressure is going up. Let's talk hibernation.
I'm here for the old people on the social media.
I'm so old.
I think I'm older than you are. So,
no, lady, I'm explaining it.
Oh no, I'm pretty sure I am.
No, nope,
let's not do that on this show.
I'm at least 2 or 3 years on you.
I don't think that's true, but
we'll talk after.
We'll talk after. Yeah. Okay, so. The first thing on our list is, we talked about leaves more or less. So we talked about
what the theme of the whole.
Oh yeah. Duh. Hibernation. Yeah. We're getting ready to hibernate.
We're ready for winter.
Moving in. And I have to say, I mean, obviously gardening is my life, but I love not gardening too.
You know, I don't think I could live in a climate where you garden.
Same,
on your
girl. Same.
No way.
Like, people say that to me all the time. Like, why don't you move to Florida or someplace where you can garden all year round? I'm like, nope. Nope. No way. Nope.
No. This time of year, I get to the point where I have to force myself to go outside and do anything. Like, Rob today, he's like, it's a nice day. You want to go out and, like, cut back some perennials and clean up a little bit?
I'm like, nope. I'm moving on to my other things.
Apple picking. I went apple picking instead.
I love not gardening. I love it.
Yeah, I love
it
too.
And there's still stuff that I need to do out there, but I've already moved on to, like, last weekend I cleaned the house from top to bottom and it just felt so great.
And not only do I want the rest, but don't you feel like, I feel like in my garden, once it's been a winter, I can clean up and start fresh. I feel like if there was no break, things would just slowly descend into chaos.
Yeah.
I just never come back from it.
No, I am I'm like my best self in the spring when I first start gardening. Yeah. And I'm also my best self in the fall when I just start not gardening.
Well, like, speaking of fresh starts, the thing is that there's so many things that you need to do in fall if you want spring to be fun. Because, like,
I totally agree.
Because leaves, especially, it's going to be a lot easier for this year. Like I talked about the two trees coming up. But I'm kind of freakish. In the last few years, we have gotten outside and tried to get every single leaf up before the first snowfall.
Why?
Because if you leave those leaves, like, in the little nooks and crannies around your patio and behind the pots and in the little crevices, if you leave them, they settle in and they're so much harder to get out in the spring. And it's just
They're just placeholders for the other leaf that's just going to blow in.
Oh, no, I can't stand it. I'm the least anal retentive person on the planet, but when it comes to leaves, if I don't get them all up, I just like stress all winter.
Clearly, I'm way less anal retentive than you are, because the leaves can have a party in my yard. I don't care. And I'm not going to clean them up until I'm ready to clean them up. Wow. I believe Mother Nature had a plan with the leaves, and I let that happen.
It's true, but also you have a much wilder property than I do. We live in the middle of town.
True. I have a very wild property.
Letting the leaves lie on the lawn just looks a lot worse than raking them up and putting them in a pile to mulch, to turn into mulch. Yeah. So we try to gather them all together and put them in one big pile and let it rot down.
I just let everything lay where it I believe, like, rose bushes, what are technically the reasons for the thorns, other than to get leaves to stick in there and mulch and protect. And I don't know. I wish I had more trees to dump more leaves in my yard. And I don't believe that they alter my lawn at all. I just leave everything be. If we have a weird, thick, wet coating of lawn, I'll call the lawnmower guys and they'll just chop it and mulch it in its place. But I haven't done that for a few years, because, like I said, we don't have too many trees. So I think leaves are like the coolest, best. It just seems to me like people wait all year for fall and then they clean up every damn leaf, and I just don't understand it.
God, we found our first major difference.
Yeah, it's pretty major. I'm really like making a note right now.
Well, another thing, we have a small backyard and we have a dog, and if we don't rake up all the leaves all winter, she goes outside and she poops in the yard, and then you can't find the poop, and then it's like a minefield of poop. And if we rake up the leaves, we can see the poop and we can shovel up the poop. This is a long little diatribe.
I don't know, I just wait. I let them poop in the yard, and then I just pick up all the poop when it's like really cold out, so that they're poopsicles.
They're frozen.
Yeah.
That's true. In the winter, if you step on the poop, you're just stepping on, frozen poop.
Like frozen poop. Yeah. So here's another difference. I just don't care. I just want to kind of work with Mother Nature instead of against her.
Yeah. I'm usually like that, but leaves, I have to deal with it.
Weird.
Yeah.
Weird. How much do you cut back your perennials?
You know, I like to think I do. I do. I cut back a few when they start to look really floppy and they get in the way and they just look really untidy. But I'm also lazy, so a lot of it gets left until the spring. I don't have a strong opinion about it, but you do, don't you?
Yeah, I think I do. I'll cut back the bee balm. It just got moldy just recently, a little bit of powdery mildew. I'll cut that back. And then everything else gets left up for birds and for bugs, insects to overwinter. Yep. I do clean up. I have like not wild sown, but close to wild sown gourds and pumpkins all over my property. I don't know where they came from. I don't know why, but I love them and they're always awesome.
Well, that's awesome. That's because you left the stuff there and it reseeded.
Or they got them out of my compost bin like a squirrel did and hid the seed or something like that. And so I'll clean up those vines soon and compost those. Even in my vegetable garden, I'm pretty careful. I leave a lot of things that maybe people wouldn't. I usually clean up my tomatoes, but I might not. My belief is that the rotting roots of everything that I leave in there is improving the soil over the winter and into the spring. So unless it has a disease, which oftentimes tomatoes do, so they should be removed. And any kind of powdery mildew, I believe in sanitation, But I also believe in letting things rot. So I really don't clean up a lot. Huh?
Do you do crop rotation?
I do crop rotation, but in just like the most vague way. I'm like, hey, I'm going to put this 17 feet away from where it was. It's not, you know, a big deal.
You don't have a big chart or anything.
No, I don't. I don't. I do. Everything I do is quite intuitive.
So you mulch in the fall, don't you? Because I don't mulch in the fall.
I mulch whenever I feel like mulching. Our city does like the chipper shredder service.
Yeah.
And you get on a mulch list, and I mulch when they deliver that mulch.
Oh, that's nice.
And can I tell you, I did not even mulch my garlic last year, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I'm addicted to the $50 a yard mulch that we talked about.
Yeah.
In your episode, and I gotta break that habit, man.
No, I think it's a really good. Maybe you'll never have diamonds, Michelle, but.
But I get mulch every year.
$50 yard mulch.
I don't want flowers on Valentine's Day. I want a yard of mulch.
That's about right. I mean, I would take like this lady. I met this lady at a farmer's market who had 7 year aged manure compost. It was really expensive, and I wanted it so bad. It had alpaca and cow and it was aged, and I was like, geez, that is just the most romantic gift I can think of.
Well, we used to have a friend who was a caretaker on a farm that had llamas.
Yeah.
So we used to go get a truckload of llama manure, and we did the research, and apparently llama manure, you can put it straight on the garden.
That's what I've heard. I've heard that.
Yeah, and it's amazing stuff. We would put it in the veg garden. We would put it in the regular beds. It was like a miracle, but then they moved and we didn't have any more. But while it lasted, it was dreamy.
I currently have a cute little part-time job at a horse farm, and I'm allowed to take home as much manure as I want, obviously. That's like the perk. But it would be like
the compost for a couple of years.
It does, but I mean, I'm okay with that. I've got the space to do that. I don't have a truck, and so that would be like 5 gallon buckets in a Mini Cooper. And I was joking with the owner about it. I'm like, ha ha ha, 5 gallon buckets in the Mini Cooper. She's like, don't laugh. People do that kind of thing all the time. I'm like, yeah, sure they do. And I watched someone with like the nicest Infiniti, like SUV pull up with 2 5-gallon buckets and his own shovel. And then he drove away, and the windows weren't even down. I was like, this guy is hardcore. This guy is, we probably would have more in common than I imagine. Pretty hardcore.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah. I think that, you know, you're supposed to compost it for more than 2 years, but I'm wondering if I brought home a 5-gallon bucket and I just had little layers in between my 3 bins or something like that it might go a little faster. And then there's other animals whose manure I can borrow as well. So I might experiment with that. I don't know. I just can't. Can you just, if you close your eyes and think about 5-gallon buckets in the back of a Mini Cooper?
You need a tiny little trailer.
And I should mention, I got the Mini Cooper so that I kept out of trouble like this.
Oh, yeah.
No. Like, if I had a minivan, the minivan would be, it would have, like there'd already be, like, taxidermy I found at a curb. And
but you could bring home 10 buckets of manure at once,
though. I would do, but I would get home, and I'd have to go to the bathroom, and I'd run in the house, and then I'd forget that I left the manure in the car.
Oh, can I tell you a really funny story?
I insist on it.
Oh, my God. When I was a kid, my parents, we had these big walnut trees, black walnut trees in our backyard, and there was some ad in the newspaper. There was some college student doing some study, and they wanted people to bring them walnuts from their yards. So, you know, they're green. They're encased in that green fruit. And so we were so excited. I must have been like 10 years old. We collected paper grocery bags full of these things. We put them in the back of my mom's Dodge Colt, the trunk. And we're like, we're going to deliver these tomorrow. They're going to give us like a couple bucks a bag. We were very excited. So the next day we go outside. We're like, let's check on the walnuts. We look inside the trunk, and the trunk is crawling with thousands of little white worms that had come out of the walnuts. We screamed bloody murder. It was awful. Awful.
Oh, my God. That is a terrifying story.
So, we didn't take the walnuts to the college student.
Oh, my God. How did you even ever get in the car again?
I don't know. I blocked out the rest of that day. I don't know what happened. I have no idea. It's gone.
How do you winterize your vegetable garden?
You know what? I don't have a vegetable garden.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've tried growing vegetables. I'm horrible at it.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I just have
a hard time believing it.
No, we talked about my forest of ground cherries this year.
Yes, and we did
not even do that next year. Did I tell you about the dog and the ground cherries?
No.
Oh, God. We went through about 2 months this summer where every time we would let the dog out of the house, she would make a beeline for the corner of the yard. And she would just frantically weave herself through the plants and eat every ground cherry she could find. And she was obsessed.
She's nuts.
She's nuts. She gorged herself on ground cherries for so many days until we caught on and finally just herded her away. But she tries to sneak back all the time. They were still fruiting like a month ago and we had to just pull them all out. It was driving us nuts.
Well, you'll still have, because they reseeded, you'll still have them next year and you're going to have to be vigilant.
Yeah, we're going to have to put up a fence or something. That's apparently the only thing we can grow. We're horrible at growing vegetables. So no, but what about you?
That's crazy. I'll leave everything up and I'm going to make those cute little corn stalks that you put, like, you know, those little ornamental corn stalks. Because I grew glass gem that you sent me.
Yeah, we talked and, about that.
And I'm just so in love, and I'm trying to like figure out all the different crafts I can do with it, because at some point you're like, well, this is a lot of ornamental corn and what the hell am I going to do with it?
Well, you know what? You could just make a stress reliever. Just take all the kernels off and put them in a bowl and just run your hands through them all the time.
That's a sensory feast, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Interesting. I believe I'm going to do a couple different crafts with them, and you'll have to watch my new show to see that.
You just said it. You'll have to watch my new show.
That's right. I'm so just such a ham for this. And what else do I have to do out there? I do have to do some work out there.
Yeah.
And like, I'm gonna have morning glory seeds all over the place, and I don't want that. And
well,
I had
seeds.
Yeah, well, saving some seeds,
veggies if you want. But do you collect seeds?
I do. I'll save a few seeds for a few things this year. I am not gonna save moonflower seeds this year. I've done that already. I'm gonna save some fennel and some perilla. Those, even though those are things that anyone can grow, it just seems like people who visit like to have,
they like, want it. Yeah.
They want it. When they come to my house, they're like, "Ooh, what's this? What's this? And what's this?" And there are three or four plants that people are really curious about, and they're easy to save the seeds for. And then it's nice to like, here you had the garden chore. Here's some packets of seeds.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's one thing I'm collecting seeds of this year. I grew that Purple Majesty millet.
Yeah. Yeah.
In all the stores now for as a fall decoration, but I grew it from seed this spring. And the seed, I don't know if it's trademarked or not. I might be breaking the law. But
yeah, you're a scofflaw. I heard that took a really long time.
What, to get seeds?
No, to grow it.
Oh, no. No, it's not bad.
All right.
I grew from seed this spring, and I had foliage for a long time, but it's been flowering for a couple of months now.
I love Jade Princess.
When I bought the seeds this spring, I bought the pack. I work for a seed company. I bought it from my own company. But the seeds are not cheap. There was like 10 seeds in that packet.
And what?
It's just like, what? I opened the pack. I'm like, what? And the person I work with is like, yeah, those seeds are expensive. So I'm like, well, I'm going to collect it. So I started collecting the seeds, and I've got a ton of them now, and I hope I collected them at the right time.
I wonder how that came. I mean, that's how they feed birds, is millet. I mean, I know it's not like a fancy
burgundy one,
right? The fancy burgundy one, but I mean, I don't know. There sounds like something fishy in there.
If you want to grow the plain old millet that you grow in a field, I think that's pretty cheap. But the fancy burgundy ones are
I love Jade Princess, and I love the way the millets smell like maple syrup when you stand anywhere near them.
I have not noticed that.
You should go. What? Just brush your hand over it. It smells so good.
Great. I'll try it. I'm usually too obsessed with brushing my hands over the perilla because I love the way perilla.
I love the way perilla. I love everything about perilla. I love the way that I have like half an acre of perilla and I don't care. It's just such a great
it goes with everything.
It's just so pretty. It's so tasty. I love the way it smells. And I love I have like people over for entertaining, darling. And like you could use them as like tiny little plates, like for appetizers and stuff. They're just
I keep interrupting you. I'm sorry.
No, and it's okay.
Entertaining is my least favorite word.
I know. And we joke about it when we watch HGTV and people are like, we're gonna be entertaining. And we're like, yeah, sure, you're going to entertain. But I've got like, this show is going to be about a couple things that's wrong with me. Firstly, I feel like I'm here to serve people with gardening, which is a little weird. Secondly, I believe that I have a house that's big enough that if it's just us three roaming around it, that's a real crying shame and I should have people here all the time.
Yep. We're going to entertain.
I like entertaining. And I like in any group of people, I'm like, you guys can use my house for, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I just want to be, I don't know. My house wants to get used up. Wants to be.
You know, I think that entertaining is the only way my house ever gets cleaned.
It helps me keep on the ball, but I would like to have my house clean enough that people could just drop by, even though I would really hate it when people just drop by.
That's one of my goals for this winter, is to learn how to keep my house clean for more than 2 days at a time.
I can do that if I don't do anything else. And that's the problem, because I try to do everything else.
If I clean it and I go on vacation, I can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about it. What else are you saving seed for?
What am I saving seeds for? What did I save? There was something I just put in the fridge. What was it? Oh, God, I'm on the spot now. I can't remember. I don't know. Keep going.
I got some really great squash from Burpee to try all this spring. It was called lemon something. That's terrible that I don't remember.
Yeah, I think you told us about that.
Squash. Yeah, I don't know if I'm not supposed to save the seed. I will actually do my research, because it's not worth. I'm not fighting anybody. It was a really great, really great squash, and it was worth growing again.
So you save the seeds.
I might. I haven't yet. It's still flipping growing. It's just That's amazing. Crazy. It's got like a half of a leaf, and it's still covered with squash, and it's still out there just kicking ass and taking names.
That's crazy.
It is a great plant. It was so pleasant. Just fantastic.
Yeah.
You pick them when they're just a little bit smaller than a lemon.
And your family has to be sick of it though, right?
My family doesn't eat squash. I might have said this on a different podcast, but my Dan, he's like, what did squash ever do to you, Amanda?
Oh, yeah.
I eat so much squash. It's insane.
Yep.
I just roasted squash just for dinner, and then I didn't eat it. But I was like, roasting squash is just like rote for me at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Figuring out different ways to eat it. But it was, what a pleasant plant. My goodness. And it didn't have any problems. It just performed, and it was the first thing to give me anything to eat, and it's still out there kicking ass.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm jealous.
Yeah,
if I knew it, Daisy would eat it.
My dog. My dogs. I don't know. I also had it was a biennial. It was a broccoli rabe that I got from Experimental Farms. Oh, and I didn't.
Experimental Farms.
Have you ever seen them?
They're no. What the hell? That sounds intriguing.
Yeah. If you like seeds that give you goosebumps, that's the place to look. They sell some weird shit. And I mean that in the best possible way. Yeah. So this is a really cool broccoli rabe. The whole thing was edible, and I didn't save the seeds. I just let it go to seed, and I'm going to have a forest of it in the spring. Wow, so it's a biennial.
Yep.
Incredibly tasty. First thing to eat in the spring. And I'm going to have like 7,000 plants of it.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Have you ever grown sprouting broccoli?
No.
I'm intrigued by it.
I've never really had luck with broccoli as on a whole. I don't do well with plants that need things.
Well, I think I want to try next year stick broccoli. Have you heard of it's stick cauliflower.
Yes, I have tried it. I didn't get any, like, I really? It maybe needed more than I can provide.
It's like it looks like a cross between a broccoli and a cauliflower, and it looks really cool, and I want to grow it this year.
It looks really cool, but if I can't direct sow it and it doesn't just take care of itself, then we're not going to be friends.
Yeah, I say I want to grow it. I'm not going to grow it because I'll suck at it.
Can try it. I mean, I would recommend this broccoli rabe. It was just awesome. It was gorgeous too.
I can't grow it. Daisy will eat it.
I don't know that she would. It got pretty big. It got like two.
So she'll only eat the good part.
It got 2.5 daisies high.
I grew red boar kale in my garden in my ornamental beds this year in the middle of my big island bed. And things were growing and growing, and that bed kept getting taller and taller. And I would go outside and I couldn't find the dog. And then I would hear her collar. She was in the middle of that bed munching on that damn kale.
Okay, she is a menace. My goodness, that's crazy.
She would eat it to nubs.
My dogs are not, they don't care about anything that I grow, but Laika wants to eat bees, so.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, it's a husky thing, I think. It's just she just wants to catch things, and I don't know. It is not good. I have to concur heartily. Pruning, do you do any pruning this time of year?
I only prune this time of year if I see dead wood and it looks like it's going to fall during the winter. Like I'll look around at my trees.
Clever. Yeah.
And see if there's any dead wood that I think might fall if there's, snow on it. But otherwise, I sort of wait until spring. I used to be really afraid of pruning. I was just hesitant
really?
To anything off of any plant. But now, you know what cured me is I have this huge nine bark. It's about 10 feet tall. It's like Diablo.
Yeah.
And every spring, it's like a zen thing for me. I go out there when no one's home with my pruners, and I spend like 2 hours staring at this thing and clipping out wood. And it's just like the coolest thing ever. I love it.
Do you do that in the winter?
All over pruning. No, I do that in the spring.
In the spring. I believe very much in winter pruning.
Oh, in the winter or now?
Winter.
So you go out when it's cold and you just have at it.
Yes. And you know what? I worked at a couple of different landscaping companies where that was what you do. And it's not just how you keep people employed through the winter, although it very much is. But it's also just such an easy way to see what's going on and to give some shrubs, especially, a new lease on life. Yeah. And I believe in it. So I believe in it. Like I would, if there was a tattoo for winter pruning, I would get that too.
Really?
Yeah, I really believe in it.
Well, next spring I'm gonna have my big test of my pruning courage, because when one of the big trees came down, we've had this smoke bush that's been the same size for about 10 years, and when the tree came down this spring, all of a sudden the smoke bush came to life.
Yeah.
And it got 8 or 10 feet tall this year, and I really want to cut it back like people do to about 2 feet tall and make it go crazy.
Yeah.
The way
it's gonna be so much fun.
But I'm so afraid to cut it back because it's been the same size for so long. And I'm like, how can I cut that back to 2 feet tall? But you just have to do it with smoke bush, don't you?
Yeah. I'm going to try to fly out there and cut this back for you, okay?
Yeah, I would love that. Okay. Please do.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah, I've had gardening friends come to visit before. I'm like, can you just prune that shrub for me? Can you just go out and prune that shrub for me? Because I'm scared.
It's fun for me to remember when I was afraid to prune, because it's been so long that pruning is like it's one of my superpowers. And I still believe that even if I feel like I'm a really good pruner, but someone else could come behind me and be like, oh, you missed this. It's like, it's highly subjective.
It is.
It's art in its own way. And I absolutely love pruning. And I that's why I got the tattoo.
Yeah. And the shrubs love it.
Yeah. They really do. It's like when I go on someone's property for, like a consultation or something, and I explained to them how to take like an old spirea that has 9 leaves on it, and that if you just cut this down to the ground in March, it will be beautiful. And they're like, get out of town. And I'm like, just do it. You'll be amazed at what happens.
I'd be like, can you come over one day when I'm not home and do it?
Right.
That was like when I sent Kaya, my daughter, to daycare for the first 3 years before she had her first haircut, because the person who did her daycare was going to give her first haircut. I couldn't be there. I'm like, wait till I go to work. Don't tell me what day you're going to do it.
Weird.
Cut her hair, save some for me, and then just let me show up and see it.
That is very weird. It's very similar, situations. Like, who's going to do the smoke bush? Who's going to do Kaya's hair?
Nobody tell me when it's going to happen. Just some really wonderful pruner out there needs
make
to
it happen
in my garden this spring one day. Do it. Don't tell me. And I'll notice like a week later.
I don't have anything in my yard for winter pruning, which is kind of sad. Like, I almost feel like I need to make some kind of a winter obstacle course for myself.
No, you just need to come to my house.
Yeah, I do. But I'm going to try to make some winter pruning videos for my show.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm getting better.
I'm sure you have friends with shrubs.
I do. I have friends. I have friends with burning bushes and lilacs that just need it so badly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Water features.
Yeah, we were talking about on one of the other episodes, my my pot fountain. We just drained most of the water out of ours. You know why? Because I was trying to fill it back up the other day, and it's so gross now. There's so many, like, there's plant debris in there and algae and leaves and stuff that when I went to refill it, the pump got clogged up with leaves.
Yeah.
And it was, like, barely pumping. And then Rob came home, and I'm like, can you take the pump out of there and clear it? And he's like, we're just taking it apart.
Yeah, it's time to do that. So, it's like the thing I forget to do.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Water, you got to be really careful in our climates, especially because years ago, I lost my favorite watering wand to the first frost. It split in half because I didn't take it all my watering wands and my hoses inside in time. And ever since then, I've been really careful about water features and water hoses and stuff and ice. Ice is
I'm terrible brutal. About all that.
Yeah, well, this watering wand, it traumatized me. It was like, I think it was made by Gardena. Do you know the company?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, and it was dream. I've never found anything like it ever again, and now I buy $5 sprayers at Tractor Supply. I'm just giving up.
Terrible about hoses and water stuff and sprinklers and all that stuff. I'm just, if it can't, I need something that's going to be all weather and that I can treat very badly.
Well, my water hoses now, supposedly, I can leave outside and let them freeze and everything. They'll be okay. They're those water right hoses. Have we talked about this?
No.
Oh, my gosh. My favorite water hoses. They're not cheap, and I have to mail order them. They're some company out in Oregon, American made. They're these really thin hoses that are super light, but really good quality.
What was the name again?
Water right.
RIGHT.
Yeah. And they're the
sign me up.
Such a nice company. The hoses are feather light but durable. I mean, you read their website, they're like, when you get your hose, drag it through the mud, run over it with your car, loosen it up.
These seem like my kind of people.
Yeah, and they come in amazing colors, metallic colors and eggplant.
Oh my God, how did I not know about this?
Oh God, they're so cool. They're so cool. And they're tough, and I love them. I have a metallic green that I think they discontinued it, so I got it on sale. And then I have an olive green, and I think that there was an eggplant I really wanted, but the first time I saw them, somebody else took it.
Hey, Water Right, hopefully we'll get you to listen, and you can, this episode of The Garden Girls brought to you by Water Right Hoses.
Exactly, see? We'll talk about
it we'll talk episode. About it, yep.
No, but seriously, I could talk about them forever because I love their hoses so much. I've never been excited about a garden hose.
I am looking to get excited about a hose. I tried, I don't remember the brand of the hose, and it's probably better that I don't remember. I tried this kind of hose that other people are excited about, and I just couldn't have been more disappointed.
You get those fabric hoses? Everyone loves those.
No, I've never tried one of those. I just like, that's just something that looks just, it from 100 feet away, that looks like a terrible idea.
It does.
I got some kind of quick connect hose, and I couldn't ever get anything to connect. And I'm good
at one of those coil hoses for a while, and that was cool for one season, but then it kind of loses its memory and it gets all
coils all into itself. Yes. From working in a garden center for years, I have like garden hose PTSD. So it's just hard for me. And I'm notorious at not watering because moving a hose
it's awful.
It's just awful.
Because to get one that's durable enough to really last, and they're that really heavy black rubber.
Yes, the Goodyear
and
ones.
And they weigh a ton.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, oh, it's so brutal.
It's just traumatizing. And here's the thing. I can do hard things. I can't move a hose.
No.
It's really just.
And watching me try to coil up a hose. It's like a comedy act. It's me cursing and yelling and just no.
It's for me. I'm like, why coil it up? I'm just going to use it again, which I know that's makes me a really half-assed person, but I am. So
Rob yells at me all the time. Somebody's going to trip over this. Well, watch where you're going.
Just like, right. Just keep an eye out. And that's why I need a hot pink Water Right hose.
They might have hot pink. I know they have cranberry. They have cranberry color.
Do they have leopard though?
Or is it mulberry? It might be
mulberry. Oh my God. Mulberry. That sounds fantastic.
No, they don't have prints.
Hmm. Yeah. Do you still have plants to put in the ground?
No. No. Everyone says you should buy plants right now, and they're all in clearance.
Yeah.
I don't do it. This time of year, I don't want to buy plants.
It's a great time of year to buy plants and put them in the ground. I still have some things to put in the ground, but I'm catching up. I think vegetable gardening just really takes a lot of my, I don't know, it's kind of high stakes. Like, it's like my perennials are like playing like nickel slots, and the vegetable garden is like playing roulette, you know. It's just like, oh my god, it's all happening over there, and the stakes are so freaking high. You guys need to get it on together all by yourself, because I'm gonna be over there just high rolling.
Oh my god, you completely lost me, but it's funny.
I'm sorry. Just because you're not a vegetable gardener. It requires quite a bit of, you know, time and energy and care, and the perennials just need to, like, you know, make it happen on their own.
Are you transplanting things now too?
No, I should. I really should, but I'm not. I'm still weeding. Like, I feel like I do my research and I know what's a perennial weed and what isn't. Like, I'm not going to pull an annual weed. There's no point in that. But so I'm still pulling perennial weeds and I'm still doing all of that.
Yeah.
And bulbs. I mean, do you have anything to say about that?
Just a little bit.
All right. I'm at 9% battery. So make it happen.
What?
Yeah, it's okay. 9% is okay.
Well, you know, I work for a flower bulb company, and before I worked for a flower bulb company, I'd be like, yeah, I'll plant a couple of daffodils. And now when I stare at them all day, every day at work, I'm like, I'll take that. And it's just like the most amazing thing. If you make that final push to get them in the ground, it's just like the payoff is amazing.
I put bulbs in the ground as late as February.
Oh, yeah.
As long as
you can get into the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to say that for a long time, I have been too cheap or too busy to do flower bulbs. Yeah. And I got a ton of free bulbs from a different bulb company, not yours, right when Hazel was first born. And I put them in the ground, even though it was so hard to do that. And then I got a bunch of free bulbs from work, I think that same year, and I put them all in. That spring, I was so grateful. It is honestly one of the best things. It's almost like
a surprise gift.
It's like a method of self-care.
Yeah, it is.
Because in the spring,
you go out there, you forget all about doing it for like months. You completely forget. And then all of a sudden, you're like, what?
Yeah. And when they come up, you need them so bad. You need them and they don't need you. And that is a beautiful combination. Like, they don't need anything. Right. And there's no work required in a bulb. They've got everything they need. Yeah. And you just go about just loving them and appreciating them. And it is deeply gratifying in a way that, like, I don't know, yoga, owning chickens, it's up there.
You know what is even more gratifying?
Hmm.
Pulling out the tulips after they bloom.
Well, I mean, when I worked in landscaping, we would just pull out thousands and thousands and thousands of tulips.
It's like people are like, why don't my tulips come back? Because they're not supposed to come
back. So you can tell me this. This is what I was told. I was told that they bud or they grow up in the Netherlands for 7 years, and they cut them up, they deadhead them before they bloom, so that they send all that energy back into the bulb for 7 years. Is that true?
Yeah, they wait for the blooms to actually open, and then they lop them off right below the bloom. I don't know the details about how long they grow. I don't know all the growing details, but from what I hear, they wait till they bloom, and then they chop them off right below the bloom.
Weird. You don't know how many years they do that?
I don't know how many years they do that. And Joanne, my boss, is going to kill me because I don't know this.
No. Well, Joanne's not listening. So we're good at that. I'm assuming Joanne doesn't listen. Find out from Joanne. I believe it's years and years that it takes to get those bulbs that big and fat.
Yeah, I will ask her.
When you put it in the ground.
Fascinating.
It takes, you could get it to do that again, probably, if you had 7 years to kill.
I guess.
And you know what? Honestly, knowing how many years it takes to do that is a great sales tool because, I mean, yeah, like, someone had to take care of that thing for 7 years or whatever. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the bulb industry is fascinating.
It is fascinating. And there's a lot of myths and there's a lot of stupid things people do for years, like the bone meal.
I don't think
bone meal. You're not supposed to do that. That just says, hey, animals, there's something good in this hole. Exactly. It's like Cheeto dust. It's like, hey, let's just dust this with some Cheeto dust.
There's a dead animal in
right?
It.
Oh.
Dig it up.
And you know what? How long does it take bone meal to break down? Years and years and years. Why are we doing this? Is this ad brought to you by the bone meal dealers? Exactly. It doesn't make any sense.
Is the bone meal, what's the word for those guys?
Council.
No, the guys who go to Washington and well, what are they called? Oh, I'm completely blanking. The guys who
lobbyists.
Go, yes, the bone meal lobbyists.
Yes, bone meal lobby. I would hate to be in the bone meal lobby. Oh, gross.
High business.
Gross. Wah, wah. Next on the list is birds, etc. do you have bird feeders? You seem like someone who would not have bird feeders.
No, we talked about this.
Yeah, I think it's too messy for you.
I had a bird feeder and I got pissed at the birds because they're messy, ungrateful little bitches. Yeah.
Wow, Michelle. Okay, wow.
This is a cursing podcast.
Here. It is. Just not, we don't usually curse at songbirds, you know.
Well, I used to have a bird feeder in my front yard, and I've been fighting the weeds from the bird seed ever since.
Yeah, yes. I have them hanging over my driveway now.
Yeah, so I moved it to the backyard last year, and I was spending so much money on bird food to just watch them fling it out of the bird feeder. So I don't know what I'm going to do this winter because I feel bad stopping cold turkey. I might put some out there, but I got to rethink the strategy.
Yeah.
We used to have one of those little suction cup clear ones on our kitchen window.
Yeah.
It's a much smaller volume and you get to see the birds like a foot from your face. And I might just do that this year.
That's a really cute one. I like that.
It was fun. It's really fun to see them that close up. I love it.
I'm going to skip this last one on the sake of my battery. And we're moving along here anyways, I think. We've been talking forever. Talk about the things we want to do indoors this winter. What kind of hobbies and what's the plans? What are your plans?
Oh, I'm just going to read a lot of books. I'm going to cook. I'm going to learn how to keep my house clean.
Those two. I'm also going to paint. I've been living in this house for 7 years and I've been like, I can't commit. What color? And I'm a colorful person. I've been living with bland walls for 7 years. I'm going to paint. I have like 14-foot seat, like really like crazy pitched rooms and stuff. It's going to be amazing.
That sounds like an acrobatic adventure.
It is going to be really difficult and time consuming.
Well, have you picked the colors?
Yeah, I think so. It's hard. It's so hard.
I can't wait for pictures.
Yeah.
So picking colors is so hard. And then
it is so hard.
Talk me out of colors and then they talk me into other colors and then I regret it. Like my dining room is Wedgwood blue right now and I really wanted that dark, dusky Confederate blue.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Right. And I have some color decks and they're not, I have very strong feelings about colors. And then also I'll be like, I'm tired of waiting to afford the 17,000 gallons of paint and I'll just find something in the garage that I like just as well. So who knows?
Mix it all up. It'll be some.
Mix it all up.
Beige-ish mauve color.
I want to uncover, basically a puce. I want to uncover my sewing machine this winter too and see if
nice.
I can
what
start.
Are you gonna sew?
I don't know. I'm not certain. I would just really like to be able to honestly mend all the vintage dresses I have that have blown out the hems and those little waistlines and things like that. Just mending vintage dresses could be a full-time job.
I'm going to watch more TV this year.
I'm going to watch less.
Really? I don't watch much. Did I just say that? Watch. That sounds weird. Watch much.
No, it doesn't. That makes sense to me. You don't watch much.
I don't watch much, but there's a few shows I want to catch up on this year, though I'm still not going to watch Game of Thrones.
I'm also still not going to watch it.
Yeah, it's just too big of a commitment. It sounds traumatizing. I'm not doing it.
Not doing it either.
No.
Winter beverage of choice.
Alcoholic or non-alcoholic?
Both.
Tea or coffee? Which one?
Both.
Oh, really?
No, I mean, I love a nice French press of coffee.
Yeah.
But I love chai tea. I love it.
As soon as the weather turns, we switch from iced coffee to hot tea, and I'm obsessed with tea all winter long. The kettle's moving constantly.
Wow.
Yeah.
You Earl must Grey pee all the time.
Sugar. Yes, I do.
Makes sense.
Sometimes I look at my coworkers, I'm like, are you guys Campbell's? I'm in the bathroom like every hour. Why are you not in the bathroom?
Yeah. I don't have an alcoholic winter drink.
Oh, I switched from white wine to red wine. Does that count?
That's about as much as I get in. I don't like white wine at all. So I switched like from cheap red wine to even cheaper red wine.
Nice. Do you get a box? Boxes are better
than I don't. I just get a bottle at Target. I get Target wine.
You can buy like Target wine.
I don't get like Target. Yeah, I can. I just buy a bottle of wine at Target. It's not Target brand or anything.
God, I live in puritanical New England, man.
Wow. You can't buy wine at Target?
Target? No.
You can buy hard liquor at Target.
What?
Yeah, it's beautiful. Beautiful.
And I've heard about this mythical Trader Joe's wine, too. I don't know anything about
that. You've never had Two Buck Chuck?
No, we can't get wine in grocery stores in Connecticut because we're so backwards.
That's really just where I don't need law interfering in where I get cheap wine.
Until last year, the next town over from us was a dry town.
That's insane. There was no
alcohol anywhere. It was crazy.
I just can't. I just can't with that.
It was the Pilgrims, man. It was the Pilgrims.
I it's the Quakers, too. Okay, so sweater or hoodie?
Sweater.
Yeah, I love a hoodie, but I love a cardi. I have... like an under the bed storage box, a huge one just filled with vintage cardigans that I mean
long sweaters that cover my butt.
Dan teases I have like this Land's End black down-filled coat that's like a robe basically, but I mean it's like all the moms have that, you know, it's like the drop off and pick up coat. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah. Are it's you like a mom in the drop off line?
Yeah, it's the knee length black coat, and I put it on the second I wake up, and then I wear it while I have my coffee, and it covers a lot of sins. It just, yes, you know, and the thing that confuses Dan is that 99% of my life is like choosing to stick out and to be, you know, flamboyantly dressed and like, hey, look at me, and then winter comes and I put this like black dirge on my body and I'm just like, don't anybody look at me, as winter time. We're done here.
That's me all year round. If I could wear black all year round, I'd be happy. But the problem is that people assume that everyone wants to wear pastel colors in the summer. Nope.
I don't want to wear pastel colors anytime, but I want to wear all the colors all the time. But yeah, this, I just love my big stupid Land's End coat. Leggings or sweatpants? That is such a great question. Leggings. I like the hard hitting journalism here.
These are the serious questions.
Yeah, I would say leggings, but I also have some, I don't own any sweatpants, but I own three pairs of Duluth Trading Noga pants. I don't know if you know, are you
Noga?
Familiar? Yeah, they're not for yoga. They're called Noga pants. And it's them being smug and funny. And it is, they're like yoga pants, but they've got like really great pockets and they're really just a little like, more fair on one's ass, like not like
out.
I'm a big fan of Duluth Trading, like all their stuff is them? Oh my god, yeah, they've got great pockets for pruners and stuff, so nice. They're like yoga pants with like reinforced pockets and stuff. It's pretty bitchin' gear. But so here's the thing with Duluth is they make amazing clothes for working women, just working women in horticulture. And
we should make it clear that we don't have sponsors.
We do not. We could use. We have, through our ads, we have made $2.71.
And we have not done this on purpose, but we're talking about a lot of companies.
We are. But also, my next sentence is going to exclude Duluth Trading. So I have a lot of their stuff, and they're all fantastic, and they're all really comfortable, and I have had some of this stuff forever. None of it's attractive.
Oh no. Okay.
I mean, none of it's flattering, but it's all like, I don't really care if it's flattering. It's all fantastic.
Thanks, Amanda.
I really screwed that up, but
yeah.
So
there goes that $5.
And I have some $7 leggings from Amazon that are just the best dream in the planet. I'll have to post that link later.
Oh yeah, I'll get that link. Are they the peach fuzz ones?
Yeah, they have peach fuzz on the inside. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh no, I'm talking about the ones that are the really soft, stretchy that just feel really thin and fuzzy.
Yeah,
those are my favorites.
Yeah, those are the same ones. They were $7.99 on Amazon. They had like 4,000 good reviews, and people were like, "I can't believe like these leggings fit my 4-year-old and me. I'm as big as a trailer." And you're like, "This can't be." And I bought them anyways, and they're like, "Oh my god, Hazel can wear them. I can wear them. The cat can wear them, and they're comfortable, and they don't get holes in them. And I've had them forever. They're fantastic, and they're like $7.99." We're gonna have to post some links. Yeah,
I want those, but then Kai will steal them.
Yeah, battery's dying, so I'm gonna clip through TV shows and wrap up with the Halloween. Porch light on or off?
On.
Yeah, ours is on 24. It's on 24/7.
Oh, I love trick or treaters.
I do too. Reese's cups or Smarties?
Both.
Yeah, I can't buy good candy because Dan eats it all.
No, Reese's Cups and Smarties are the two best things ever.
I think I traditionally buy a lot of candy, and then I do a lot of non-peanut like toys and stuff too, because I have the teal pumpkin out front. But yep. I try to buy things that Dan doesn't like. One year he ate an entire bag of Halloween candy the night before Halloween, and I had to go out and buy new stuff.
Oh no, I can't have Halloween candy open in this house because Rob will eat it all.
Yeah, it's kind of gross.
Hates himself afterwards.
Yeah, Dan doesn't hate himself. He's just like, I don't. He's like in a candy coma and he denies it. What are you, costume or no costume?
I personally do very subtle costumes. At work, I have these big feet that I put over my shoes, and they just look like, at first it looks like I'm just walking through the warehouse barefoot with big painted toes, but then people look closer and realize they are huge.
That's fantastic. Look like a hobbit.
Yeah, they're like a hobbit, but they don't have any hair. They're just these big white feet with red painted toenails, and at first glance everyone's like, oh, what's she doing barefoot? And then they're like, what?
I like that. I usually go over the top. I know that's hard to believe.
No.
This year, I'm going to be Kate Bush from the Wuthering Heights video.
Oh, and you're going pretty out there, too. That's good.
Well, I tend to, it's usually pretty, what? You know, one year I was Mrs. Banks from Mary Poppins.
No. Oh, that's awesome.
One year I was we used to go to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party at Disney World, so I had some Disney themed ones. I was the Constance Hatchaway, who's the bride who murdered all her husbands on Haunted Mansion. I was Coraline's other mother one year.
And oh no, I see anything Coraline is just horrifying to me.
Yeah, it was terrifying.
Because I work for like a plant catalog.
I know. It was all too close.
Too close to home.
Do you ever do scary, or are you always clever?
Well, we concentrate on Halloween on making costumes for Kaya, and we go all out. And last year was the best. We made. Are you a Miyazaki fan?
Yes.
Yes.
Of course.
Last year, we made her a no face costume from Spirited.
I remember it was fantastic.
Yeah, and we don't know what we're gonna do this year. We're a little late because she was gonna be Slender Man. Do you know what Slender Man is?
Yeah, that's not funny or cool.
No,
you can't do that.
She wanted to be scary this year, and she was going to do it. And Rob even bought off of Facebook Marketplace some what are they? Drywall stilts.
Oh, geez.
So she could incorporate stilts. And then just a couple days ago, we came to our senses and we're like, what? We're going to let our 13-year-old daughter walk around town in drywall stilts? That's not very safe.
So no. You guys are the circus people.
Yeah, we don't know what we're going to do, because last year the no face costume was probably 8 feet tall and she just loved that.
That's so awesome. Hazel wants to be some character from the Descendants 3 movie that no one's heard of, no one will understand. And also she wants us to buy nothing because she has all the things here.
I don't even know what that movie is.
It's some Disney thing. And she made part of it with pipe cleaners, and it's all in her mind. It's adorable, and it's also not,
awesome.
we it's like the time of year. I'm like, honey, if you said you wanted to be a Mardi Gras float, mommy would make you a Mardi Gras float. And she's like, no, I made this thing with pipe cleaners. I'm good. And I'm like, it's just no.
We veered way off the topic of Mardi. That's yep. Okay.
And my battery's low, so we should probably sign off. Yeah. Okay.
So we're going to work hard on trying to find someone to interview for our next episode, I think. I think it's time to bring another person on again.
I have an idea.
We have lists.
We have lists. We can make it happen.
Watch out, interesting gardeners.
Interesting gardeners are going to have a lot more time in about 2 weeks when we're ready to do another one.
They are. We're going to have to.
We're just buying a little bit of time till we can get some quality talent.
Just when you think you've got time to rest, we're going to call you up.
That's right. Calling in a favor.
All right. Well, until next time, thank you.
Thank you for being a friend.
Woohoo! Bye.
Bye.